Thank you. So we're going to shift now from looking at this meeting to looking forward, and obviously that has already begun in what's been said. So I'm not going to speak much more except to say when we were in Ottmering, we heard Thuringia. Have another meeting in Thuringia. We didn't know Volkenroda. That was found later. The themes, the speakers, it just, God developed it. We're hearing some things from this meeting, but we don't have all the details. So what we're going to be talking about, and Dwayne's going to come and present this, is more of a proposal. Some things we think we know, some things we're not sure, and we're going to let the process unfold as the Lord unfolds, but we don't want to get ahead of that. So let me just briefly, Dwayne, come on up. I want to introduce Dwayne to you because I think it's important for you to know where Dwayne's coming from and what he brings. So I talked at the very beginning about building a building. I am not a good construction person. You don't want me to build your building. I can see maybe where the building should go. I communicate a vision. I think there'd be a good building up on that hill over there. But the details, the patience, I just don't have it. Amy does. Thank the Lord for that. But Dwayne has it. And so we're very blessed to have Dwayne with us, because he not only has that ability natively built into him by God, but he has experience building this sort of organization on a worldwide level from his work with the Mustard Seed Foundation. When I met Dwayne, I talked yesterday about meeting George for the first time. When I met Dwayne for the first time, it was in Santa Fe, New Mexico, in the United States. We were both attending the same school. And I look back at that now and I see, God, you had more, much more in your mind and heart than we had any idea. Dwayne went on from there to do a PhD at Harvard in the United States. He went on from there to be the executive director of the Mustard Seed Foundation, which is an unusual foundation because it gives worldwide to Protestants, Catholics, Orthodox, and Messianic Jews. And so Dwayne led that effort for 7 years. And now we are very, I think, blessed to have Dwayne come and speak to us.
Thank you. For me, this has been a wonderful days together. And it brings back memories of my first meeting with the 2017 family last year in Ottmering, which, like Volkenroda, was a beautiful place that has a rich history of the body of Christ in all its expressions coming together. And that was a powerful time. And one of the things that I was struck by, and I felt the Lord was impressing upon me, that I have two, as a context, I have many quotes on my dining room wall that is for food for thought as we gather to dine, because I have a lot of guests. And I'm going to share two of the quotes today, one at the beginning and one at the end. The first quote is from one of the saints of Germany, Dietrich Bonhoeffer. And it's these words. He said, "The first service one owes to others is learning to listen to them." And I love the fact that he didn't just say, "The first service of others is to listen to them." But he put in that phrase, "learning to listen." And that takes time, that takes attention, that takes respect. And I have felt that those that have gathered both in Ottmering and in Volkenroda have really exercised that desire to learn, to listen to one another. As we continue to learn, to listen to God. So in that context, I last year was given a word. I come from the Presbyterian tradition, and the church I've been a part of does have many that are more charismatic. But when God gives me a word, it's not many sentences. It's usually a singular word. And that is meant for me to draw my attention and to reflect. And so last year, I felt the Lord in Atmari gave me this word. Magnitude. And because I came to realize that what Martin Luther did in 1517 in that church in Wittenberg, I don't think he had any idea of what magnitude would follow. And we have now been living with 500 years of what took place in that epicenter of Wittenberg and the magnitude of what has taken place dividing the body of Christ. And that word has special meaning for me because I'm a Californian and I live with earthquakes. And whenever there's an earthquake, people always ask, what was the magnitude? They want to know how powerful it was and what took place close to the epicenter. And so I've lived through many earthquakes, some that I might just be sitting in a group like this and we feel and we go, maybe 3.5. But then I've also been in ones that have roused me from my sleep and you go to a place of safety. It all depends on the magnitude and where you are located near the epicenter. I think what has struck me is that for those who live in Germany, Austria, in Central Europe, like in an earthquake, the closer to the epicenter, the more pain, the more need for repair, and the need for help. But all feel the effects of that magnitude, even great distances. And sometimes those effects are fear and anxiety and distrust and questioning of God. And so as we think of what took place 500 years ago and the magnitude, recognizing that significant pain and suffering has been experienced in Europe, but that ripple effect of the division has carried globally, geographically, and also across history and time. So something to be mindful of as we consider our plans for Wittenberg and how we experience that division perhaps differently depending on where we live in the world and the expressions of that. I'll use an example. Currently in the Presbyterian Church in the USA, we are going through division again. So I feel that once again, division. And that is a long distance from Germany. So as we have, as a leadership team, prayed and discussed, again, this idea of listening, learning to listen to one another, and also learning to listen to God, of what the plan should be, we want to present to you some initial thoughts, ideas, recognizing we want to continue to learn to listen to one another, and continue to learn to listen to God clearly as God's plans for Wittenberg 2017 unfold. So with that, I'm going to show a plan for the next 5 years, just a sketch of locations. So there have it. And I'll talk a little bit about this. So obviously 2012 and 2013 have passed. In Ottmaring and Volkenrode. And we met both in Europe but as an international gathering. And I'm going to go down to the bottom. Then in 2017, the plan is that we will gather at the end of October, beginning of November,
for an event to pray together, to repent, to reconcile, and to experience greater unity. In 2016, the thought is also to be in Wittenberg, but not in October, November, but rather in starting in June 18th and the days following.
Actually leading up to June 18th.
Oh, leading up to June 18th. Okay. Leading up to June 18th, because June 18th will be 500 days before October 31st, 2017, to initiate 500 days of prayer, fasting, in preparation for what God might do in 2017. And that would be an international gathering in Wittenberg in 2016. That may, some ideas have also include a prayer walk from Wittenberg to Augsburg, and perhaps other events that would help individuals engage and then connect with this story and with the work of repentance, reconciliation, and unity. So that is for 2017-2016. The next 2 years is still a question. And again, we're learning to listen to one another and learning to listen to God as to what that might be. And one of the things that have come from this gathering is perhaps the idea that for the next few years that there might actually be two gatherings. One more internationally focused and one more Europe focused. There's a significant number of individuals who, because of how moving this weekend has been and the witness and stories of our Messianic Jewish brothers and sisters, that next year a desire and perhaps a calling to go to Israel to engage in deeper ways our Messianic brothers and sisters. But there's also a desire to continue the important and necessary work in Europe. And so there's also been given voice to perhaps gathering in Rome here in Europe as well. And these would likely be at two different times of year. The Europe predominantly in October, early November, and the international likely in April, May. Again, this is very open. Nothing's been set, but these are the ideas. We've also discussed in 2015 for the international is South Africa, in order to learn from and to do prayer work with our brothers and sisters in Africa and South America on the work of division there. One of the offices for Mustard Seed when I was on staff was in South Africa. And I had the privilege of spending time with a Christian brother named Michael Cassidy, who started African Enterprise in Africa. And he wrote a wonderful book called Be a Witness Forever, which tells of the many years that Catholics and Protestants and various denominations would gather in prayer to see the overthrow of apartheid. And it's a story that's not often told, how much prayer is part of that. Individuals, small groups, including stadiums of people filled, just praying for that change. And to he wrote the book to record the history of the prayer movement that led to that change and that peaceful. So we think there's much to learn from South Africa about prayer, repentance, reconciliation. So today we offer this as an outline. outline, a sketch, but again, desiring to learn to listen to one another and to learn to listen to God. Because you see there's question marks as to, and different locations have been suggested, from Trento to other locations in Germany. Also Ireland has been suggested, because as we know, there's historic division, Protestant, Catholic, in Ireland. So this is something for us to consider and contemplate and pray, how the Lord might lead us these next few years as we seek to bring others along and to engage in this important work of prayer, repentance, reconciliation, and unity. So I felt the Lord gave me another word this year. And again, a single word. I'm a simple man, so a single word helps. And so my word for this year that I felt the Lord gave me is this word, trust. That we each individually learn to more deeply trust God for what He's calling us to do internally about repentance and reconciliation and unity, and what He might want us to trust or how He would lead us as a group and as a movement as we seek to be faithful to God moving forward. I said I would share another quote from my dining room wall, and it's actually a piece of scripture, and it comes from 1 Corinthians 4 verse 1 that says, consider us in this way, as servants of Christ and stewards of God's mysteries. And I think all of us are happy to be viewed and to engage as servants of Christ. I think at times it becomes challenging and perplexing at times to know what it means to steward God's mysteries. And yet I believe that's part of God's call to us as we move forward, is to be a steward of God's mysteries. And I just want to acknowledge Hannah. I think Hannah's story is a beautiful, powerful story of stewarding a mystery and what God can reveal and do through being faithful to steward a mystery. And may God guide us to trust as we steward His mysteries.